Dunk is working. We're allowed to talk.
Technical issues for you, which is great.
Do you
remember when I used to have technical issues, mate?
I do, yeah. Do you know who has technical issues? Nina in South Africa, but their internet seems to be very bad in South Africa.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about South Africa, other than they're all populated in, like, Johannesburg, and the rest of it's, like, safari.
Yeah, they have power outages, so, like, once a week or twice a week at certain times, no one has any power.
That would drive me mad, I think. Knowing that my freezer full of beautiful choc ices is going to end up getting defrosted once a week, it would suck.
Right, but Dunk, we're going to do some problem solving today. We've got 20 minutes to solve some problems.
Okay.
Yeah?
Is this like quick fire problems, or are we analysing one specific problem each podcast?
I don't know. I think maybe we try all three.
Okay, let's go for it.
Yeah?
Let's go for it.
Okay, I'm going to leave the fun one last. I'm going to try and sandwich this. Okay, so the first problem is... How do I get my manager to do his job properly without offending him?
How do you get your... Okay, so firstly, what type of job is it? Are we talking an office-type job? Are we talking a manual labour-type job?
We're talking an educational job.
We're talking an educational job. So how do you get your manager to do their job?
Let's just say we know a particular assistant head who is needing help trying to get the deputy head to fucking do their job.
Well, one way to do it is to... I presume that this particular assistant is... they're going above and beyond to fill the gaps that their manager isn't doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that the head teacher is not noticing that the deputy head is not pulling his weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
So...
There's definitely a... They don't want to tell anyone type of vibe. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah,
they
don't want to grow
up or whatever.
One of the ways is, I would say, is to dial back the amount of extra shit that you're doing.
Okay.
That would have like a crossover. So if there's a Venn diagram of work that you're doing for this other person.
Yeah.
Dial it back. Still go above and beyond in other aspects of your work so that you don't look like a complete dick.
Mm-hmm.
But dial back the stuff that helps out the person who you want to work harder.
Okay, I got ya.
Because if other people start to notice that their job isn't getting done properly, the person they're going to ask isn't going to be you. It's going to be the person who's not doing their job properly.
True, but then what if that person says, yeah, but I passed that on to the assistant?
Well, the likely response will probably be, well, you shouldn't have passed it on to the assistant. What the fuck are you doing? Why? This is your job. This is your role. Why aren't you taking responsibility of this?
Oh, you'll be amazed that that does not happen.
Well, I would not, because I know that management structures generally promote dickheads to the top of it.
But, in hierarchy, it's like delegate this, delegate, delegate, delegate.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those... You either have to suck it up or, you could just, like, I don't know, break a leg for 6 weeks. Do it that way.
Do you know what? I like that.
Do something to hospitalise you, so it takes you out of the game.
Yeah.
You're accidentally not involved in it,
yep.
If you know what I mean.
Yep.
Or it looks like you're accidentally not involved in it, and then suddenly the deputy head is going to find themselves scrabbling around trying to catch up with all the shit that you're doing for them.
I mean, when I was off during some time with my Crohn stuff, no one took over all my stuff that was meant to be happening. So none of it happened until I returned back. Madness.
It would have been noticed, mate. It would have been noticed.
Madness,
they would have noticed how much work you did and how much work nobody else did.
My favourite thing is, I know this situation, and the person tried to, like, do a really smart thing. And, like, with their colleague, they try... Not the colleague that's annoying them, but with another colleague who can see how bad they are at doing something, tried to plan together to make the situation better the next day. But then the next day, the deputy then came and completely changed what they had created and made it worse. What do you do, Dunk?
Okay, another thing to do is plant traps within documents. Ooh. So if you are having to type up like a Word document or a spreadsheet or something, just do like replace all and then replace a specific word or name
with cunt.
With cunt or penis.
Okay, yeah.
Make it relatively. I think cunt's a bit. No, cunt's probably more subtle than penis because you might get mistaken for can't with a skim read.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, you do like a find and replace, or in an Excel spreadsheet, you tweak the formula so that the end result is always negative.
I like.
So like
this.
All of their performance reviews in their spreadsheet are kind of just dreadful. I like their this. KPIs.
I like this a lot. I mean, my.
I'm taking back that 20% of work that you're making me do on your behalf. Fuck you.
Do you know what I say, Dunk?
Yeah.
Put your big boy trousers up, or your big girl trousers up, and go confront this manager. And go confront
him. And be like, hey, can you, like, you know, do a bit more around the place?
Well, yeah. What, you know, like, do you want to actually, like, do this and do that? Like, how about, why are you doing this so badly? This is how you should be doing it. Why are you doing it this way? Please explain to me. I need some kind of answers. Instead of pussyfooting around it all, let's just communicate. Let's get it all out there.
Yeah, they might not know that they're not pulling their weight, I guess.
Exactly. They might not know how shit they are.
Is it... I mean, I have no experience in this, but I would imagine this is kind of like living with a significant other and... they're not doing the dishes after they've had their meal, or they're not putting it in the dishwasher, or they're not rinsing it before they put it in the dishwasher and food gets baked on and comes out and it's not quite right.
I mean, I have a much
more you can either clean it again and go for the process of cleaning it again, or you can just say, hey, come on, if you rinse it before you put it in the dishwasher,
I think you've got to at least,
or leave it to soak,
try
before you put it in the dishwasher,
talking to
them
first
be...
try
yeah. And then if it's still a problem,
yeah,
then you have to escalate it. Yeah. And at that point, traps. That's when you need to put on your really big boy pants. Maybe even a pair of suspenders as well, so you can walk in with a thumb tucked in and just sort of like, hey.
I quite like the idea of traps, Dunk.
Yeah, I like the idea of traps. I think traps is... because you could always just explain it away. It's like, oh, I don't know what happened here.
Can we do like proper traps? Like a bear, like a trap in his chair?
Or like a bowl of water above his door.
Yeah.
A balloon filled with custard.
A whoopee cushion in a meeting.
Replace all of his milk with bull semen.
Oh my gosh. Bull semen, you know.
That's so we can have a nice thick cup of coffee in the morning.
I don't know if I'm turned on or disgusted. I'm not sure. All right, Dunk, shall we go on to our next... Have we solved that problem? I don't know.
I think what we've done is we've escalated it and we've created a micro system in which there is a conflict going on.
Okay.
But I like that. I think sometimes in certain aspects of life, you need to have a bit of conflict.
Yeah, make your work a bit more exciting, innit?
Yeah, you get to be a bit creative with it, you know? cunt 1 week, dickhead the next. Maybe start lengthening the words that you got in.
All right, let's do a next problem. You ready?
Yeah.
How do I grieve when someone dies, Dunk?
How do you grieve when someone dies?
I don't know how to grieve, Dunk.
I'll be honest. So I think the Brits are the worst when it comes to grieving and supporting death.
Yep.
I don't know what it is. I think from a young age, you know, where your pet dies, rather than just saying, hey, look, your pet had this, it died, it's all right to be sad, we'll be sad together, we'll get over it in a couple of days, and it'll be fine. A lot of people, you know, the ancient trope is, oh, well, the dog went off to the puppy farm, or your tortoise ran away, not your dad ran over the tortoise with a fucking lawnmower and killed it. So I think it gets hard baked in from a very young age that we're not particularly good at talking about death. We're not very, very good at helping each other. Well, knowing what to do. You know, it's not just the person who's going through it. It's the people around them knowing what level of support, what things to say, Sometimes it's just putting an arm on the shoulder. Sometimes it's going out and doing something fun and distracting just to sort of take your mind off it. And it's okay. I mean, fundamentally, it's okay to be sad.
I like to give hugs. I'm a good hugger.
Hugs are incredible. As someone who used to hug quite a lot and then someone whose living situation found themselves in a very remote area of the world and now doesn't get many hugs, hugs are incredibly important.
Dunk needs a hug, guys. If anyone sees Dunk on the streets, give him a hug.
I'll be the guy kind of curled up in the corner crying because I can't handle it. I think hugs just... not even having to talk about it if they don't want to talk about it, but if they do want to talk about them, talk about them. Talking particularly about people, talking about ways that they touched your life or you touched their lives, and maybe funny memories, yeah, wholesome memories. Just the worst thing that you can do is bottle it up, and the best thing you can do
Joe! Sorry, I had something.
The best thing you can do is remember them. I mean, if I were to die tomorrow and nobody said a word about me because they were afraid to talk about how I'd impacted their life, be it good or bad,
you'd come back. I don't know.
I'd feel disappointed that I had personally that I'd left. If I was able to look down on someone and they weren't talking, I'd feel like I hadn't had an impact on anybody's life. And I think that would make me sad. So if people are talking about me, then I've had an impact on them. And I like to think that that would be a legacy that everybody wants to leave.
It's that weird idea of, like, if people can remember you and talk about you and have these memories of you, you never go as such, that type of... obviously, you are gone. But the idea that someone stays with you because they stay in your memory and you kind of always think of them. Or you have, like...
you're immortalized in feelings, aren't you? As, like, opposed to...
I've had someone pass away recently, and they got me a cup that I have at work. And that cup makes me smile because that cup reminds me of that person giving me that as a present. And it's forever going to be a special cup to me now because of that.
But now that they're not here, are you reluctant to use the cup? Are you afraid that if you use it, you might break it? Or
I want to use it.
That's good.
I think I'm very much like, when someone passes away, I want to put up photos of them all around the house. Like, I want to remember them as much as possible. And not, instead of, like, you know, blocking it out, not going for it. I think grieving is a process. I think it takes a very long time. And I think it should take a long time. But when the initial death happens, I think having photos of happy times and memories, you know... kind of, you're almost making it very clear that this person is now gone and all you have are these memories, but these memories are very, very important. So you must look at them, treasure them, and keep them in your mind for the rest of your life. But by going through that process as it kind of is fresh, I think it helps you process it in a healthier way than obviously just bottling up, waiting for a moment for it all to come out.
Yeah, I think as well, if you are sharing your, like, memories and personal experiences with other people, then you'll find people that have had a similar or shared experience. So actually it brings people together as well. Yeah. I think, you know, death is tragic, and obviously losing someone is dreadful, and grief is hard, but you can have a lot of... good memories at funerals because you're, like, sharing happy stories of people, which helps with the grief because you've got that kind of collective positive impact that's been left on other people's lives.
Agreed. All right, one more problem. We'll sandwich it with a more positive type of fun one now. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for it, yeah.
If I wanted to disappear, how would I do it? So we're not talking like die, Dunk. We're talking like just disappear.
You mean, like, so remove yourself off the face of the planet?
Yeah, man. Just disappear from everyone.
Like, can't be tracked.
Can't be tracked.
Okay, so you need to get rid of your credit card. That's the first thing you need to do.
Right, you've got a bank account, you are traced.
So you You need cash money.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Okay.
And you need, in the short term, you need cash. In the long term, you need to find a means of generating cash in hand. So you need like cash in hand jobs, working on building sites, mowing people's lawns, doing things that can't be traced by the government. So you need to do that. You need to get rid of your mobile. You need to get rid of anything that might give you a something that can be tracked. So, for example, you don't stay at a hotel that only takes a credit card. Maybe buy yourself a van and convert it and live in a van. If you can live out of a van and maybe use like a local gym for shower facilities or something, but again, you've got to make sure that it can't be tracked back to you, a person, an address, an account. It's all got to be clean. It's all got to be, that's it. Don't have any emotional ties. If you're going to look to disappear, you can't be traced back to someone. You can't be caring for someone. Because if you get in contact with someone, you better believe they're going to be tracked. So you can't do that. You've got to be full hermit. You've got to just rely on your instincts.
Yeah.
This is a survival situation. Now, the other good thing to do is go to a different country.
I was thinking the Atlantic.
Fucking cold, Rich.
Ain't no one trying to find me in the Atlantic.
The Atlantic is fucking cold. I would go somewhere. It sounds crazy because Russia's fucking terrible, but I'd go somewhere like Russia or like a Balkan state or something.
Are you saying you're going to go to North Korea?
No, because I'd stick out like a sore thumb in North Korea because I'm too tall. And I haven't got Kim Jong-un's haircut, so I never will. My hair's not thick enough for that. I can't, you know, I'll get beaten up the second I get across state lines. you need to just sort of like blend into a background. Maybe go for a cabin in the woods scenario.
Yeah, that's the way Dexter, the original series, ended. He was like logger in the middle of the woods.
It also was the way that Breaking Bad ended. Initially, before the last episode, you know, Walt had like 5 years of living with his cancer in the middle of nowhere.
Very bizarre.
Alternatively, you can go for the old boy situation. You can hire someone to keep you in a hotel room and feed you nothing but dumplings from the local Chinese restaurant.
I mean, that's probably a heart attack waiting to happen, but yeah.
You
need somewhere where you can exercise, right? Can't just like be stuck inside.
I don't know. Even in jail, you get to exercise, Dunk. He used like a toilet assistant, and he did pull-ups on the door frame, and sit-ups and press-ups, and Josh Brolin got ripped, man. He got fat and then got ripped.
I tell you, got ripped recently. Jake Gyllenhaal, that dude got ripped suddenly.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm not sure. I don't know whether I want to see that film, man.
I don't want to see that film. I have no interest in it at all. But, like, that man.
I like Jake Gyllenhaal, and I like most of the things he's been in, but I don't think that I want to see him in another fighting film. Roadhouse.
I think he's gone in a midlife crisis and now just decided to really bulk up and be this really strong guy to stay healthy because he also has a fear of death, just like me. Anyway.
He was great in Southpaw, though.
Do you know what? I liked him in Donnie Darko. I liked him in Spider-Man.
Nightcrawler. Did you see that?
I found Nightcrawler a weird fucking film. I won't lie.
Nightcrawler was weird, but it worked because of it.
There was an awesome train movie. There was an awesome train movie he was in where like it was like a time loop or things would keep happening again and he had to solve the crime or something. That was a badass movie. Don't worry about it.
I don't know what film you're referring to.
It's okay. We've got one minute left. Actor. 1 minute left to disappear.
Okay. So, cash in hand. Try not to have anything that's linked to you. Steal number plates. If you're driving around, swap your number plates over. Make sure that you can't be traced. Make sure that any crimes that you're doing in the name of survival are not yours. Sand down your fingerprints. Wear gloves. if it's slightly cold outside, wear gloves. If it's not, face mask. During a pandemic, you could disappear, right? Because you have to put a face mask on.
It's true.
Nobody knows who you are. Face mask, hood up, you know, just all of these things. Maybe wear a bobble hat, like, all the time.
This is like Bourne Identity territory now.
Yeah, yeah. Get yourself
20 minutes, dunk!
As well.